Line A.
Finnish kid, 6'5". So there's nothing broken, and he's got a bruise. When he gets his foot in the boot and feels comfortable, he'll be back playing.
Do you think that could be as early as when?
Exactly. As soon as when he can put the foot in the boot and skate. 4 days to 14 days is probably the range we've seen in the past. That has nothing to do with Patty. We'll see how he heals. Early on, I would say that it's been very good. Right? So he's quite a bit less swelling after day one than day two. So he's motoring around on his own power. And
could he be hopeful for the Nashville game, do you think? Or?
I'm not shooting for that one. We'll see. Really, Brian, I don't know. We don't know how quick these things drain. It's not really about pain tolerance. It's we give it a few days. We want him to be able to skate. We want him to be able to play. And in the situation we're in, we don't want him hobbling around the ice. We want him to be able to move pretty comfortably. So we'll take as much time as we need till we get to that point. I just can't give you the day.
What about Jack Roslovic?
Not feeling very well this morning. Flu-ish. He's about the 7th or 8th guy we've dealt with on that. If he feels strong tonight and he feels good tomorrow morning, he'll be in. And if he doesn't, he won't. But we've had a bunch of guys play that next day. They haven't been flying, but it's possible.
So if he feels okay physically, he's a player for you tomorrow then? Mm-hmm.
Michael Hutchinson skated this morning, Paul. What's the latest with him?
He's got a test in the next couple of days to see if he's got to pass it before he can start taking shots. If he passes it, then we'll start having some pucks go his way.
Anything new with Mason or Truba?
Mason will skate in the next couple of days. There's not a healing time that we need in terms of the injury itself. You have to heal off the scope. So in the next few days, we're hoping he gets back on the ice. Jake has been good and pretty darn near symptom-free right from day one, so we'll give that one a couple more days and he'll start skating.
Looking at Brian Little moving up, or could Roslovic go on that line tomorrow?
We'll probably finish with Brian, start the game the way we finished it with Brian on the wing with Stastny and Ehlers.
How would you describe his season, and how has he adjusted to his role adjustment here with Mark kind of moving into that number one center full-time?
Really strong. Slow start in terms of minutes and maybe production, but value and quality of play, we've leaned on him pretty heavily here with the centermen that we've had down. And then the numbers wouldn't necessarily say that he's had a great season except for the wins that the Winnipeg Jets have had. We don't have him without him and the important role that he played. While all the other guys were out, he was the constant. And we won hockey games. It's not all about goals and assists. He's capable of doing it at real high skill level. There has been a minutes change for him. So I'm going to say he's had a really good season. I wouldn't look at the stats to tell you that.
In some ways, is he the poster boy for what you talked about going into the year, about guys are going to have to sacrifice some personal stuff for the greater good?
He, Matty Perreault, Dustin Byfuglien, when everybody's healthy, all the players that were used to 20-plus minutes or big minutes, everybody got their minutes shaved a little bit, those guys especially, and handled it well.
Should guys like Patrick Laine be going out of their way to block shots?
No, he should have been skating a lot faster toward the shot. Run to the fire is the rule, because it hurts a whole heck of a lot more if you're 30 feet off it. You don't have an option, especially when you get into the playoffs. If you're in a shot lane, you're blocking the shot. That's a function. We would prefer that our forwards don't give 20 feet of ice to let that guy really lean into it.
If you're stuck in that no man's land, you haven't got that jump to get up there, then your other guys that got to get out of the way.
That's a tough one, isn't it? Right? So you could pull lots of video that would say that that's the best thing to do if there's no traffic. The guy with all the pads on is in far better shape of stopping that puck than you are. But there's no real way of knowing it. And as you get more and more into the playoffs where those forwards are getting to the net a lot earlier, a lot harder, there's an awful lot more traffic. Your goalie may have the worst seat in the house and you may have the best seat, in which case we got lots of ice bags.
You're talking to some of the guys, it sounds like it's become a real badge of honor.
Well, it's got to be no fun, right? In the last 15 years, the sticks have changed. Everybody shoots at a ton, but blocking shots I would say that there were, and somebody here is going to have analytics and statistics to tell me I'm absolutely wrong, but it seemed to me in the past, you know how the idea is 20 years ago was more old school and everybody was tougher. Well, there was a lot more fighting, but you had four or five shot blockers, right? And that's what made them different. And there were a bunch of guys who just couldn't, didn't really get in that lane. And now everybody shoots it, and almost everybody blocks shots now. I mean, they do it differently, but almost all teams have their own structure and their own defensive zone, penalty kill and power play. Penalty kill is different. Everybody kind of has to block shots there. Some teams will be a shot-blocking team. I'm thinking at times, you know, John Tortorella's teams for the longest time, really heavy shot. So they would get into the lane first and not worry about the distance. Then there are a bunch more teams kind of like us, and I would put maybe Nashville and a few other teams. They're going to push those points as hard as they can. It's just, the idea is it would be better if we didn't have to block a shot. We would prefer that.
Paul, you talked about it the other night with Kyle Connor, and obviously the 27 goals are impressive, but what are some of the other things that you really liked about his game? I mean, I'll let you answer that, but I mean, the stripping the pucks, the back pressure, all those kind of things that maybe we didn't see early on with him.
So we could look at two games here. Last game he scores two, so when I tell you I really, really liked his game, if I'm reading that, I go, well, nice pickup, coach. You know, you're fast. Played the exact same game in Carolina and didn't have any points, and was really did the things that he's one capable of doing, capable of being a bit of a game changer playing like that. He's such fantastic speed, really good quickness from a dead stop, and he's got great hands and he knocks it down. Where it's exceptionally valuable for us when he does that, the two off players are Wheeler and Scheife. Right, so when there's a change of possession, and think about how that happens, they're in some sort of breakout formation, some sort of attack formation. They're no longer in a defensive formation. He knocks something down, and you've got two guys that can skate, like those other two, arcing in to pick up something loose. Those strip pucks, those takeaways that happen up to our blue line from their end are a really big part of the way we play. And that's also for him. Would have been true of Nick Ehlers and Patty and any of our young forwards, something almost brand new to them in the National Hockey League. They wouldn't have had to do it a whole lot. The game, amateur game, isn't like that, right? It's not a sprint game where the NHL is absolutely a sprint game. So he's never done it before. It's an awful lot of hard work. Not 100% sure the value of it now. What's great about Kyle is it's a strength. Now it's become a strength. Because of his quickness and his speed, he's a really well-conditioned athlete. His numbers are good right out of camp. He can get on that puck, strip that puck, and now that it's what makes him good. The 27 goals are great. Certainly think there's a possibility he may finish with more. But his big improvement, I think that shot was there last year, that scoring ability and playmaking was there last year. But all of this other stuff that he's developed is going to become the strength of his game.
Well, in college, he didn't have to do a lot of that because they had the puck, that line had the puck most of the time. But is that right, maybe one of the most surprising of this entire Jets season? Is that one of the most surprising, pleasing things that you've seen this
pleasing
year
would season? Be the word that I use. The thing that in Kyle's game that I enjoy the most is the thing that maybe he needed to improve on the most, the reason why he spent the year in the American League and started there. He's done so. And now the consistency of that. It goes from 1-4 to 2-4 to 3-4, and now he's pretty much on it. I mean, we see it, not, you know, 9 out of 10, it's there with him now, and it's a strength for him.
Paul, the next three games are against playoff teams, and then the last six are against non-playoff teams. Is that, would you rather have more mix of teams at least fighting during that last week and a half to prepare, be better?
I'm going to say no, and this is the reason why. When that game last night against LA got to 1-1 about the 10-minute mark of the third period, they were still trying, but they're protecting that point, right? They need that point. They're not pushing back at you. The harder teams to play, I mean, you'll remember we won 7 in a row at the end of last season, are the teams that have skill and there's no cost to their risk. So for us to beat those last teams down the end, they're making that rink-wide pass. They're going to throw it back through the seam. They're going to try a bunch of stuff that you wouldn't try if you had to win that game. Their risk profile changes. It'd be much more difficult for us defensively to handle that. So I would prefer. Now, I like I like playing these teams here also, that this four-game block starting with Dallas, because all four of these games are heavy. Right? They're going to be hard-hitting. They're going to finish their text. Those teams are coming in with that identity a game. They're trying to make the playoffs, so you saw it early in each game. They're running. They're finishing every check. It's a hard game. We've handled that pretty darn well.
Sorry, his Patrick's bruise, it's a soft tissue bruise?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he the kind of guy that is going to potentially rush himself back? He's in the middle of a race. Do you need to worry about him putting himself in a bad position?
No, because it's not a separated shoulder where there's degrees of separation and we're not 100% sure where it's at. He comes in and says it feels good. This is a bruise. If he can go, we'll be able to tell right away how he's feeling. How fast is he skating? And he like all guys, learn at a young age. They got to play uncomfortable and they got to play with certain things. I'm not worried about it. It's a short answer, which I never give.
So this isn't something that he could come back and make it worse if he's not properly looking out for it?
There's a 5% chance that every single injury could get worse, right? Every bruise, if it's not taken care of, can end up in an amputation. That's a possibility. It's not realistic, but so we'd be real careful with it. It's clearly an extreme case. Somebody's already freaking out there about it, but we'll do the best science that we have. There's nothing broken. As soon as he can skate on it, we'll put him in. And if he's no good for a game, one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to come back the next day and say it's gotten worse, and we'll cut him right back. Right? We'll make a good decision on the first day, but if how his body reacts to it isn't positive, then we'll pull him back out again. We're not going to rush them in, but we don't know how any of those. And we had players this year play with broken bones under the same set of circumstances, right? They come back in, it's good, away they go, and it's not. We pull them back a little bit. It's normal. If he feels better, then we just keep playing them.
To the point you were just making about LA and how in that third period they sat back protecting that point, I'm interested in if you're playing a team that you think that at some point you may see in the playoffs, how much in-game do you garner from playing that team that you can use down the road?
If you watch a team play, nobody changes major systems between the end of the season and the playoffs. So the matchups they're looking for, you can pick up the hockey style of the game. The results mean nothing, right? In 09, we got beat 4 straight by Boston badly. Played them in second round and beat them in game 7 in overtime. What happens in the regular season doesn't matter. The systems and the style of game do. So we got all that stuff cut already for every team in the NHL.